Temptations. I can't go out without seeing temptations. I drive by them every day. Starbucks. I go into Starbucks and it's not the coffee that tempts me. That's the easy part. It's those pastries in the counter there with the cream cheese in the middle of it and the apples. Oh, those things. I just love those particular temptations. But the sweets really haven't been my biggest problem. No. My biggest problems are the carbs and the fat. Give me a great big plate of enchiladas and I'm happy as can be. I'll fall to that temptation yet again. Or one of my very favorite temptations, which is over at Cheddar's, which is, of course, the Monte Cristo. I mean, that's just one of my favorite temptations. And one of our church members had a wonderful time with me in indulging this week in one of those. I just had a blast with that. Temptations, falling to temptation. We do that. We don't even know we're doing it and we're falling to temptations. We have an interesting story today from the gospel from Matthew chapter 4 where it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Well, thank you very much, Spirit. I really need to be tempted, I'm sure Jesus said. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and here's one of the greatest understatements in the scripture, and he was famished. Heck, I'm famished after fasting for 40 hours, but 40 days and 40 nights, and he was famished. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." And I'm sure it came out really sarcastically. If you really are the Son of God, if you really are the Son of God, command these stones, these rocks, to become loaves of bread. Now this could have been a real temptation for Jesus. After all, he's got the ability to turn rocks, to turn stones into loaves of bread. We don't have that ability, but Jesus did. So how is this a temptation for us? The hint comes from how Jesus confronted the temptation. He answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Rather than depending upon his own ability to change rocks into bread, rather than depending upon his own powers and abilities, Jesus depended upon Scripture. Jesus depended upon the Word of God, not just some of the words of God, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, that can sometimes be misleading. Sometimes we have the temptation to hear this as, okay, here you go. Here's the Word of God. Depend on that. Well, that's the easy way to understand it. But that's not the only way to understand it. When we're confronted with temptations, when we're confronted with the prospect of sin, when we are confronted with spiritual dilemmas, rather than depend upon ourselves, rather than depend upon our own strengths and abilities, we too should instead turn to the Scripture. Some say to Jesus, and I agree, but a revelation about Jesus and of Jesus is found in Scripture. We should turn to Scripture and what Jesus speaks to us and says to us and teaches us through Scripture. When I feel tempted, when I feel spiritually hungry or thirsty, when I feel spiritual emptiness or worthlessness, I turn to Jesus' words, "I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world." When I am feeling lost, I turn to Scripture and to Jesus' words in Scripture to hear what Christ our Lord is saying to us, saying to me in my darkest moments, in my starving moments, in my moments when I'm feeling lost and I'm starving for the presence of God. I turn and I listen to what my Master Jesus says in the Word. I turn and listen to what the Word of God, Jesus Christ, says in the Scriptures. When facing temptations, the good news is that we're not alone. When facing temptations, we're not left to our own devices, to our own abilities. We have the Word, the words, and the Word of God. That's the good news. So we have here this first temptation. If you are hungry, and if you really are the Son of God, then change these rocks into loaves of bread. And Jesus' response is no. No, I'm not going to depend upon myself and my own abilities. I'm going to depend upon the Word of God. That's a good answer, Jesus. Good answer. You get a good point there. And the devil says, all right, let's see how you trust the Word of God. Let's see how you read the Word of God. Let's see if you really mean that you're going to depend only on the Word of God. Let's see if you really mean this. And so the devil takes him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and says to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. How is this a temptation? What is the devil trying to get Jesus to do? Is the temptation for Jesus to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple? No. The temptation is to misapply, misinterpret, knowingly misuse or twist or spin the Word of God. It's almost as if the devil is saying, look, you really think you're going to depend upon the Word of God? You don't need to use yourself. You don't need to have your own abilities. You don't need to depend upon your own strength and your own abilities as the Son of God to live. You really think you're going to trust in the Word of God? Okay, here's the Word of God. Psalm 91. Throw yourself from the pinnacle of the temple and trust in God. And in so doing, the devil, who loves to quote Scripture, misquotes it, twists it, spins it to fit it into his own objective. And we have the same temptation. If we're going to depend upon the Word of God, the temptation is to take it and twist it to our own needs, to our own understanding, to serve our own ends. Yeah, we're going to depend upon the Word of God, but our understanding of the Word of God and what we can get the Word of God to say. Clergy are really good at this. We're really good at reading into the Word of God and adding to it meaning and twisting it and forming it and molding it to a situation or a circumstance. Clergy are really good at it. We take classes in seminary on how to twist the Bible. Our congregations are good at it too, and they don't even have to take classes at it. They learn it from watching us. We learn it from the bishop and the district superintendent and our professors in the seminary, and you learn it by watching us. How to take and twist the Scriptures. What did Psalm 91 say? Not throw yourself off from the pinnacle of the temple and the angels will catch you. It didn't say that at all. What it says is, if you stumble, if you dash your foot against a stone, if you stumble in your living, know that God will be there. The holy angels will be there. The presence of God will be there to catch you, to pick you up, to dust you off, and to set you on the path again. That you have nothing to fear in those moments. Not throw yourself off, but if you stumble, God will catch you. What Satan did is what we do. If we defeat the first temptation, and the first temptation is to depend upon ourselves and our own abilities, if we defeat the first temptation by saying, I'm going to depend upon the Word of God, then the second temptation is to say, okay, you're going to depend upon the Word of God, let's twist it to get your own way, rather than paying attention to what it says and following what Jesus says in it. The second temptation is to twist Scripture to our own purposes. Jesus' answer should be our answer. Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Don't treat God like your lap dog. Here, boy. Here, come here, God. Come over here. Do a trick. Roll over. Play dead. Here, beg. Some people treat God as if God is a lap dog. God can do your bidding. God's going to obey you. No. You cannot take the Scriptures and twist it and force God to do something with it, especially what you want God to do. No. The second temptation, if you're going to depend upon the Word of God, then don't twist it, don't spin it, don't try to force it into a meaning that's not there. Read it, interpret it, internalize it, and go on. "Well, I don't like what it says sometimes." Neither do I. "I don't like what it says here. I don't like it at all." Neither do I. But guess what? Rather than spin it and say it doesn't say it, deal with it. The third temptation follows from the first two. The third temptation, though, is obvious. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." This is that moment where you have the B-grade actor who comes out and goes, It's the obvious sin. It's the obvious one. It's the one that you can't miss. Fall down and worship the devil. Serve evil. Serve the evil one. Serve wrong. Now, most of us don't have much acquaintance with idol worship. Most of us who live here in the West, we're not really acquainted with the worship of deities and idols. But we do have idols and deities that we serve. They're usually folded up in our wallets, and they're called God Dollar. And we tend to serve that God Dollar, the god of this world, money. We tend to serve money before almost anything else in this life. We fall quickly to the temptation, thinking, "Well, we'll get God's will done for God this way. God could do a whole lot with me if God made me into a Rockefeller. Then I could take all that money and use it for God, right?" No. The temptation Jesus faced is a simple one, and it's insidious. "Fall down and worship me," Satan said. "And you won't have to go and preach to those people who will ignore you, who will deride you, who will laugh at you, who will want to follow you but who will misunderstand you and interpret you wrongly and twist what you say and use it to beat on other people. You don't have to go through any of that, Jesus. You don't have to go, and you don't have to be arrested, and you don't have to be tried, and you don't have to be crucified, and you don't have to die. Just fall down and worship me, and I'll give you the world. Fall down and worship me, and I'll give you the kingdoms of this world." And they were his to give. "Fall down and worship me, and you won't have to go through any of that. And you'll get God's will done, because the world then will come to you, because it will be yours." Satan made it easy. "Just worship me, and you can have it all." We face the same temptation. Worship the world, worship evil, worship the things of this world, worship money, worship possessions, worship structures, worship things that are good, family, nation, friends, church, the Bible, Worship stuff. And you'll have it all. Jesus' reply, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only God." It can be so tempting to fall to the third temptation. It's the obvious one. It has Satan in it going, "Wah!" But still, it's the one we trip to all the time. Word of God. Oh, that's easy. Okay, I won't depend upon myself and my own strengths and my own abilities because I know I am worthless. I am without strength. I'm without spiritual ability. My understanding is rather poor anyway. So I'll just depend upon the Word of God. That's an easy one. A little harder. Okay, you're going to depend upon the Word of God. Then don't twist it into what you want it to say. Don't try to spin it to make it say something different. Don't tear it. Don't rip it. Read it. Struggle with it. Try to interpret it. Try to understand it. Ask God to help you understand it. But don't twist it, spin it, fold or staple it. Keep it. Harder. But not as hard as the third. Since those two didn't work, all right, then let's have an easy life. Worship the world. Worship sin. Worship the devil. Worship the evil way. Worship the self. Worship God dollar. And you can have it all. This Lent, my friends, we're called to face our temptations, whatever they may be. And throughout the history of the church, the basic method of facing temptations has been, surprisingly or not surprisingly, reading the Word, praying about the Word and how to understand the Word, and worshiping God in the midst of the family of faith. Dealing with the temptations are as simple as that. Reading Scripture, praying about and interpreting Scripture within the context of the prayers and the family of faith, not twisting it, and worshiping God in the family of faith. It's as simple as that. I don't know what you're facing in temptations. When we began the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday, we had cards that people were invited to write their sins upon, and somebody said, "Oh, I need more cards than just one," and then we burned those cards. Well, today I invite you, there are no cards. I invite you, when you come to the table of the Lord, and when you kneel to take the elements, I invite you to bring in your heart, your mind, and your soul a temptation. What temptation is biting on you now? It may be that chocolate shake. It may be that big piece of chocolate cake. It may be that great big plate of enchiladas that I'm going to have tomorrow. It may be something else. It may be the desire to acquire wealth, or a better job, or a better spouse. It may be some horrible temptation. My friends, I invite you today to bring it to the table of the Lord, to bring it to Jesus, to partake of the good news, the incarnate presence of God in our midst at the table of the Lord. Receive the grace, the strength of the Word of God dwelling now inside you that can and will transform you. I invite you to come and to eat and to drink and be transformed and give up these temptations to Almighty God. By our own strength, we can't. By our own mind, we'll twist the Scripture. And by our own design, we'll end up worshiping the devil. But by God's grace, by God's strength, and by faith in Jesus Christ, when we come to the table of the Lord, when we hear the Scriptures proclaimed, when we pray, when we serve together, when we partake of all the means of grace, we can confront and overcome the temptations following the pattern Christ laid before us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.